Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Our final show for 2015. Yes, I know we still got a couple of weeks to go, but as our loyal listeners who've been with us many years know, we do take the Christmas week off. Starting this Thursday, we go dark. We'll, of course, have our repeat shows, and if you missed anything over the last couple of months, you can always catch stuff in the rerun stream, but this will be our last live show for the year. Next year, we have some changes, some plans for some fun stuff, so I hope you will stay with us. So, let's get started. I know you're waiting anxiously all week long for our quotes of the day. So let's get started with our quotes from the universe and from Abraham, from Mike Dooley in the universe. How about, no matter the temptation, you no longer think or say, I'm tired, I'm hurt, I'm angry. Don't even think or say, I'm happy. Instead, whenever the urge arises, think or say, I choose to be tired, hurt, angry, or happy. Give it a little time, because this is how you become anything. The universe. Quite interesting. And I actually kind of really like this quote, even though it's a little bit confusing. But, I mean, the core message of it is using the word choose. You know, so often we think that life just happens to us and we don't really have much choice in the matter. But ultimately, really, we have 100% choice always in how we respond to whatever shows up. Now, do we have a choice over what shows up in our life? In a way, but not necessarily directly. But we always, always, always have a choice in how we respond to what shows up in our life. So, maybe you didn't sleep that well last night, so you woke up this morning and you feel that urge to say, I'm tired. Well, instead, what the universe is telling us to say, I choose to be tired today because I didn't get that much sleep last night. And, you know, just making that slight change of language, that slight adjustment to how we usually speak and think can have a huge, huge difference in our life. So, quite a wonderful quote from the universe. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. And as you know, these quotes are always so perfect for the guests we have lined up for you, even though I do not plan these out. These come to my email box every morning. So let's see what Abraham has to say. The most valuable skill or talent that you could ever develop is that of directing your thoughts towards what you want. To be adept at quickly evaluating all situations and then quickly coming to the conclusion of what you most want. And then giving your undivided attention to that. There is a tremendous skill in deliberately directing your own thoughts that will yield results that cannot be compared with results that mere action can provide. Abraham. See, two quotes that are very much in alignment with each other. Again, what is Abraham saying? Kind of something similar. It's about choosing, but it's really about choosing where you're directing your thoughts or what are you focusing on? You know, where are you directing your attention? Because ultimately, our thoughts arise from what we give our attention to. So, if you're going to place your attention on that couple arguing on the subway or that person who just cut you off in traffic as you're driving, or if you give your attention to the beautiful sunrise or the crisp, clear, beautiful winter day we're having here in New York City, you generate different feelings, different emotions, and different thoughts will arise. So again, it's always about what we're choosing moment to moment. So it's what we're choosing to say and what we're choosing to give our focus or attention to. Two very powerful choices to make and two very valuable skills to develop. So two wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham. I hope you have enjoyed them. So let us move forward. Of course, it is my pleasure to welcome my last guest of the year, Dr. David Kapowitz. A fellow wits, a fellow member of the tribe. It's always so good to have like a nice Jewish name. So like with Leibowitz, Kapowitz, you know, everyone's going to think we're related, David.
We are.
Absolutely. So Dr. David Kapowitz is the head of Energy Leadership Development Coaching at Rock Spring Coaching. He's the head Energy Leadership Development Coach at Rock Spring Coaching, where he works with small and mid-sized companies and entrepreneurs to develop strategies that bring clarity and focus to your decision-making process. David is kind of special in that he opened his first chiropractic center. So, yes, he is part of the CAM, Complementary and Alternative Medical Modalities. I don't know. Chiropractic is considered alternative, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
Cool. Center in June of 1979, and he was the first doctor in the state of Connecticut. See, we love people who are like first in something, to advertise. So you were kind of a bit of a maverick, weren't you, back then?
Absolutely.
Wow. Which catapulted his practice practically overnight into some really thriving. However, now David is known for his true passion of getting people to be more effective as leaders, entrepreneurs, and managers. And it is my pleasure to welcome David to the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have somebody who's so in alignment, like myself, an alternative practitioner, and now kind of, I guess, we're practitioners of the mind, though you used to be very much a practitioner of the body.
Certainly. You know, it's interesting. I had my first radio show when I was in high school.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But I had a radio show, call-in show, in Stanford. Mm-hmm. And years ago, when I first started, was when professionals were first becoming able to go ahead and advertise. So it was not looked upon very graciously by the other practitioners. Lawyers were starting to advertise.
Right.
Doctors got into it. So, but it was a very exciting time to be in practice when I opened up. And quickly we began to develop a very busy practice.
What got you to decide to become a chiropractor?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I, back in the day, I had thought about becoming a dentist. And I don't know, that kind of waned after a time. But my dad actually hurt his back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on vacation and he slipped and he was a traveling salesman. So mm-hmm. he always was sitting in a car, and he developed tremendous sciatic pain, which is pain running down the leg. And he couldn't sit any longer. And he'd been to all the traditional medical means. And unfortunately, he had to stop working for a little while until a friend of his said, "Why don't you go see my chiropractor?" And his chiropractor was somebody that helped him almost immediately. And from then, we all started to understand the philosophy. I've been getting adjusted since I'm 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we went ahead and then I became a chiropractic student, and actually my brothers became a chiropractor as well, and one of them is still practicing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Amazing. So yeah. It's like your father's injury actually affected really you and your brothers
absolutely.
In a very profound way.
And we were all very sports oriented. So this was a very this was a great way for us to kind of combine both. And back in the day when we were kids, antibiotics were just becoming in vogue. And doctors were giving antibiotics for everything. And my mom didn't do that. My mom was, you know, old school when it came to that thing. And we didn't give antibiotics for every last ailment. And as a result, we all grew up very, very healthy. And when we did need to take antibiotics on occasion, they worked.
Yeah.
So we've always been in that alternative in that alternative field, working out, staying fit. My brother, one of my brothers, was the fastest swimmer in New England for 2 years and missed the Olympic trials by a hundredth of a second. I had another brother who was a pitcher and an athlete. So we've all been natural in terms of our the way that we grew up.
You know, I was just mentioning to our engineer Janice this morning how my wife went for her checkup with her doctor, and you know, when she comes in, the nurse comes in first and takes your blood pressure and your weight and your height and everything, and she's like filling out the form. She's asking her, "So what medications are you on?" And she's like, "I'm not on any medications." I'm like, no. Like, what medications do you take? And she goes, "I take vitamin B complex." And she's like, no, not vitamins, something like medications. She's like, "No, I don't take any medications." And this nurse like couldn't get over it that, I mean, neither myself nor my wife, we take any medications. And, you know, 50 plus years, like it's like become so common and so like stuck in the mindset of the medical community that like everybody has to be on something, that they're surprised when you meet someone who's not on anything.
Well, allopathic medicine is based on that. I mean, basically give a bunch of symptoms a name and the name has the treatment. And that's kind of what that's all about for years. My mother didn't take any medication. She's 90, almost 91 until she was 88.
Wow.
You know, everything is relative. There's a formula, actually. 80% of the people have control over their health. 10% are genetic superiors. No matter what they do, they're going to end up okay. And 10% are genetic inferiors. No matter what they do, they're going to succumb to something. We all have to assume we're within that 80%,
sure,
where leadership skills make a difference in their lives.
Great, great. Yeah, and I want to talk about how you became a coach when we come back from break. But just quickly before we go, I'm curious, when you went into chiropractic school and you started to learn about all of this stuff, was there anything in particular that really opened your eyes, that really surprised you as you were learning to become a chiropractor?
Well, yeah. I think what really turned me around was, you know, in medical school you learn about Koch's postulates, where the cause of disease is the resistance of the host in the presence of microorganisms and so forth. And strengthening the host just makes so much sense.
Right.
Strengthening yourself. Right. So many people go to the doctor hoping to get a great checkup.
Right.
The problem is they don't do anything in between to make that happen. It's like going on a cruise and seeing people that are, you know, severe, you know, grossly overweight. They're in the gym.
Right.
And I'm saying that they're there 1 week a year when they should be in another. So it's very interesting that people, if they exercise good leadership skills regarding their health and the decisions that they make, make a big difference. And that resonated with me in terms of chiropractic. Strengthening the host made sense.
Right. So it's really focusing on sort of the preventative stuff. And not even preventative. I don't even like that word. It's like focusing on the things that are going to help us to maintain a healthy body, a healthy mind, healthy lifestyle. Because it just makes sense.
Your body is an amazing mechanism, and the physiology and what it can do. All we need to do is support it,
right?
Okay, and let it go. There's an innate intelligence that runs our system, and that makes all the sense in the world. It just didn't make sense to fight everything with every type of medication where we suppress our body's a natural immune system.
Right, exactly. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, it's time for us to take our first commercial break. So when we come back, I'd like to learn a little bit more about how you went from a chiropractor to a business coach, because that's not a very common transition we see people make. So we'll go there.
Okay.
Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And our guest this week is Dr. David Kapelowitz, and we will be right back.
Hey. You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour. We're talking with Dr. David Kapowitz. So, David, before the break, we were talking about how you became a chiropractor. And then in 79, it seemed like you were a pretty successful chiropractor, you know, for many years. How did this transition happen where you went from chiropractor to coach?
I've been asked that question so many times.
you know, must have that story down pat.
Absolutely. In the late 80s and early 90s, things were very good in the chiropractic field in the way of medical reimbursement and insurance companies. Yeah. And when I moved to Stamford, Connecticut was the hub of a lot of Fortune 500 companies. Yeah, they were all in my backyard. And before the years of HMOs and PPOs, life was good. I developed a tremendous lifestyle, had a nice home, had all the luxuries that anyone would want. And then in the very early to mid 90s, managed care really put a big push on alternative providers at that point. Yeah. And life became very, very difficult for a period of time. The aperture for people to access my practice went down tremendously. Because in medicine, if you decided to accept an HMO or a PPO, it didn't matter how many practitioners were in that particular area or zip code, they would be accepted. If you know, words, if you're going to do an MRI or you're going to do some type of procedure and you accept what they're going to pay you, no problem. Right. In chiropractic, it wasn't like that back then.
Right.
There was a certain quota. So people were calling HMOs, going from one to the other. And it was a game that became, you know, who got there first. And one of the problems back in that time is that it became difficult to run your practice that was already established at the level you were running it in the past. Because we had a great number of employees and people doing their thing, therapists and what have you. So in the late 80s, actually more like 1995, 1996, I turned my attention to a nutrition program that was introduced to me by another chiropractor who said, listen, if you take these nutritionals and you put it in your office, you might be able to make some extra money. And back then, I looked at the nutritionals and I thought they were very good. I didn't realize it was built on a multi-level principle.
I see.
But I took a look at it and I said, you know what? These our vitamins are really good. A lot of my doctors are feeling the same that I'm beginning to feel.
I
went out and I became a leader in that business and built an international organization.
Okay.
Well, it became so successful that I decided, what's the point of fighting with insurance companies?
Right.
So I ended up selling my practice in 2000.
Oh, wow.
And then that was a decision that didn't serve me quite as well, and that's one of the reasons that brought me to coaching, because that company sold and then sold again. They changed the compensation plan. I built a second one and lectured internationally for them as well, and the same thing happened. So at that point in time, through a recommendation of actually a cousin and a dear friend, within a few weeks of each other, they said, you need to teach people what you already know about business. You saw close to 100 patients a day in your practice. You built two international organizations. But you need to become a coach, become certified as a professional coach, and learn how to move people from point A to point B. And it has been just fantastic, and I absolutely love it.
Wow. So I guess that's really a lesson in being open to what the world or the universe kind of brings to you, because it can be pretty easy to kind of get stuck with what's worked for you in the past. You know, it's not always so easy to say, you know, yes, but I'm a chiropractor, and I know chiropractic work, and I've done really well at it. And even though, yeah, I built up this thing on the side, and it's paying me a lot of money, but, like, this is who and what I am. And to kind of let that go is not always an easy decision to make, is it?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I went back a little bit before I became a coach. But what I like about coaching is that I get a chance to affect people in a very different way, which is not maybe on the physical, but making tremendous changes. So I have clients that have now become business partners in their business that have changed their businesses, where they bought an extra building that they needed. People who really made significant changes in their business because they become aware of who they are in the process of what we do, which is called energy leadership.
Right.
And I'd like to take a second or two to explain a little bit about energy leadership. Because
you see, you're like getting ahead of the game. Look at this guy. He's hijacking my radio show. He knows my questions before I even ask him. I was going to ask you, like, what do you mean by energy leadership, development coach? And he like pulls it out of my brain before I even have a chance to ask it.
Well, that's part of the higher being, the intuitiveness of a coach.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting, but energy leadership, which was brought about by Dr. Bruce Schneider, it talks about the seven levels of, not, now this is not Stephen Covey's work, seven levels of leadership, but these are the seven different attitudes or behaviors that determine who you are and how you make decisions. And there are two basic categories. They're catabolic and anabolic. Catabolic being destructive to building teams, groups, clubs, organizations, or relationships.
Right.
And the others are anabolic. So I'll go through them very quickly so you get a feel.
Sure.
Level one is victim energy. I can't. What's wrong with me? Why doesn't this happen to me? Marked by worry, guilt, and fear, sleepless nights, and so forth.
Right.
And apathy.
Right.
Level two is conflict. Now, this, Sam, is the quintessential leadership style in corporate America today.
Yeah.
It's I win, you lose.
Right.
My way or the highway. This is the these are the micromanagers of the world.
Right.
These are the people that, unfortunately, they can make a very successful business, but they usually have a revolving door in their business. So maybe they make money, but unfortunately, they break relationships because they rule by fear and intimidation. And in today's world, fear and intimidation is not a great leadership style. So people have high turnover. They become apathetic. And one of my clients said to me, you know, the worst thing in the world is keep replacing people. And I said, well, that's expensive. But the worst thing is having people that stop really working and just push paper and you're still paying them.
Right.
You're better off replacing them.
Right.
So level one and level two are both destructive to building teams, groups, clubs, organizations.
Right.
Level three through seven, those are building forms of energy. Level three is a lot of rationalization. I win, and if you win, I'm indifferent. Level four is you win. A lot of healthcare practitioners are in level four leadership. There are pros and cons to each level, which I won't get into now, but level four is you win, then I win.
Okay.
Level five is win-win. These are great problem solvers.
Right.
They are people that are in high positions in companies, C-level executives. Level six is everyone wins, and these people seem to come across opportunities continuously. Mm-hmm. And level seven, if I had to put a face to it, would be the Einsteins of the world. Non-judgment. There is no winning or losing.
Right.
So the higher people resonate in the scale, the more choices they have, the more creative they are, the more they're engaging they are, the more confident they are. But in order to get to that place, sometimes it takes looking at some of the things that are blocking them. And as coaches, what we do is we know that your life is something that you know better than we'll ever know. But what we can do is give you a way to look in the mirror at yourself and then push you forward by holding you accountable.
Right. So, I mean, if you have a short conversation with somebody, how would you be able to sort of assess maybe where on that scale and what level they're at?
For that particular conversation, absolutely.
So, like, what kinds of things are you listening for?
Well,
that allows you to be able to determine, oh, okay, because they said this or that, then I know they're kind of up here or down there.
Well, one of the things is, you know, when people use but all the time, when they'll say, yeah, but that's victim energy. Yeah, a lot of that is victim energy because what they're doing is negating and they're judging
and
they're not self-aware of what they're doing. So but is a big thing. I have to versus I want to.
I want to
is very positive energy.
Right.
It's not easily accessed if you're doing something that you perhaps don't feel you want to do. So we do a lot of reframing in our business. Teach people, hey, look at what the positive is here. And one of the techniques that we use is ABC goals, which is a guaranteed success formula. A is your optimum output. Mm-hmm. B is your backup plan. Mm-hmm. And then C is your backup to your backup plan, or what's guaranteed? What did you learn from the situation? Right. So in every instance, you can be successful, and that success breeds confidence.
Right,
so,
and success is not necessarily equates to dollars. You know, we have a tendency in this society to always judge, well, if I'm successful, that means I'm making a lot of money. No, success can be you learned a very valuable lesson, and it might have cost you money, but if you really learned the lesson and you don't repeat it, that is more valuable sometimes than making a dollar on it.
No question about it. Success is in many different parallels. In other words, money is just one area where people can be successful.
Right.
I mean, I have clients who have, you know, they've been married four times and you know, broken homes, or their kids aren't speaking to them, or what have you.
Right.
You know, in that area of their program, they're bankrupt.
Right.
But in the area of making money, that's fine. I have a lot of people, and I tell them when I do sometimes I do a little bit of coaching around health habits.
Right.
And I say to them, you know, you got two bank accounts. You've got your financial bank account and you've got your health bank account.
Right.
And one is easier to replace in a moment. You could win the lottery. You could absolutely win the lottery and take somebody who's in debt and make them a multi-millionaire.
Right.
But you can't bankrupt your health bank account.
Right.
Because it doesn't work quite the same way.
Right. You may be able to come back, but that doesn't mean you can come back and be as healthy, and it's much easier to prevent things than to lose it and then try and gain it back.
Right. And there's a book out there, I forget who the author is, it's called Bending the Aging Curve, and it basically talks about people who work out and do things that are proactive to stay healthy starting at a young age. They can actually bend the curve. I think when a person is 40, they're chronologically, if they've been doing this all along, they're the same age as somebody who's age 20 who does nothing. Mm. At age 60, they're the same as somebody who's age 40 that does nothing. But the difference is that they have to start at a younger age in order to bend that curve. It always makes sense to pick up good health habits, but the earlier people do, the better it.
Okay.
The better results.
All right. Time for us to take a quick break again. I do want to talk a little bit more about those different levels and the idea of energy leadership, because I'm all about energy here. And of course, if anyone would like to call in and ask your own questions of Dr. David or myself, our call-in number is 877-480-4120. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I'm very happy that Dr. David Kapowitz took the time out of his busy schedule to come down into New York City and spend his hour with us. So, David, we were talking about sort of these different levels of energy management, in a sense. And I imagine that, like, when you're working, especially because you're very focused on business and sort of business leadership, that sometimes, you know, talking about energy is, it takes a little bit getting through to in the business mindset, doesn't it? To get people to kind of think about things in that, in those terms.
Yes, attitudes and behaviors are formed by various levels of energy.
Right.
Interestingly enough, the world has changed a lot over the last 30 years, where people are, they gravitate to this kind of work, especially if you can make it real for them.
Right.
So in practicality, a lot of times I'll explain, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. A level two leader might say, Sam, listen, I know it's the holiday weekend. You're my IT person. I need these to be done. And the number's on my desk. On Monday, and that's kind of my way or the highway. I'm the boss. Yeah, get it done.
Yeah.
Whereas a level five leader would say, "Listen, I got this material a little late in the day, and I apologize. I know it's the holiday weekend. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself available. But I have two of my best people that can help you if you need them. And here's where I'll be. And on Monday there'll be something special for you for doing this. I really appreciate it." Now, most people, that's level five. It's all about win-win.
Right.
Now, most people would think that that came naturally, and I'm here to tell you, after working with lots of people, it does not. Okay.
Yeah.
So teaching people how to access different levels of energy will change the words that they choose.
Right.
Like we said before, I have to versus I want to.
Right.
Nobody, you know, people want to do something that feels different. That's a raise.
Right.
That's a level of energy.
Yeah. I was very happy when I heard, you know, your focus on language. And I say it to my own clients that I work with all the time, that, you know, what comes out of our mouth is in some ways almost more important than what we put in our mouths, because it really shows what our underlying attitudes, habits, and beliefs are. So the more we can pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth, and the more we can language things in a way that support the type of results and the type of energy we want, the closer, you know, the faster we're going to go to get there.
Absolutely. There's no question. We teach a lot about mastery versus outcome or outcome performance. And we work with athletes as well. And, you know, and mastery is all about the long-term process to develop those mastery skills that you're looking for.
Right.
Whereas people who are focused on the immediate outcome, sometimes they can burn the bridges behind them, but just get the outcome that they want sometime.
Right.
But in order to get consistent outcomes that they want, they need to almost, it's almost counterintuitive, they need to divorce themselves of the immediate outcome and focus on the mastery of the process. Mastering your process is the way people get consistent outcome.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I've heard, like, Tony Robbins talks a lot about this, and he has, he calls it COIN, constant and never-ending improvement, or CNI, constant and never-ending improvement. So it's the idea, like, it's not something you do, like, and you're done with it. It's a change of lifestyle or change of habit that's something you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, because there's always a higher level that we can reach. There's always something, we can always be better at what we're doing.
Absolutely. We see that a lot in professional athletes. If you are a golfer and you watch golf on Sunday afternoon, all of those guys are all about mastering the process.
Right,
yes,
right,
they're looking at the wind and they're looking at how they want their shot. But when they stand up to that ball, they are focusing on the mastering of one thing, their process, and the outcome will be a result of that.
Right,
okay, if you teach amateur athletes to do that, they can get further along in their consistent results as well.
Right. So how did you come up with this idea of energy leadership? I mean, I've heard a lot of people use the word leadership in many different contexts, but never energy leadership. So that I'm really curious about.
Well, it's not mine. It's Dr. Bruce Schneider. Okay. It's the school of coaching that I went to. Energy leadership refers to the everybody resonates at a certain level of energy. When a person walks into a room, there are people who are the guy, and there are people who are that guy.
So
you can feel energy. Energy is actually very palpable. I know a lot of people feel like, wow, there's something mysterious about energy, but you feel it all the time. When a person walks into a room, there's a certain energy that they have around themselves. And it might be what they're doing, and they might not have the same energy for another task. Oftentimes clients have certain high level energy around certain things, and other things that they want to improve upon, they're not as sure. And one of the things that raises people's energy is obviously there are actually 10 core disciplines that raise level of energy, and one of them is awareness and becoming aware that you can make a change. Earlier on, you talked about that.
A lot of
people are not aware that they can change. They feel like, well, this is who I am, and this is what I what, you know, my blueprint is, and it's hard to change. I didn't say change was easy, but everyone has the ability to change, but they need to be aware.
That's possible.
It's like an alcoholic. You can't reform if you don't know that you're an alcoholic. You need to know that you can change, and awareness is incredibly important.
Wonderful.
We have many assessments that help people become aware.
So before we get to that, because I do want to delve more into it, but I just want to ask you, you know, when you get someone in who's like a hardcore manager or business person who's been doing things a long time, but now things aren't quite working for them, and you start talking about this energy leadership, I mean, I'm sure you must get people who are like skeptical or like, oh, what is this woo-woo stuff? You know, this is what my wife talks about when she goes to her yoga class. I don't deal with stuff like this. How do you kind of bridge that gap or move them from that kind of very skeptical attitude into one where they understand and see the difference it can make?
Well, I think everybody attracts the clients that they're supposed to attract. There's no question.
Absolutely.
I think my gray hair has something to do with some of the people that I attract. But I will tell you that I have some very high-powered people that totally get it. And they are actually looking for it. Because they are so lonely at the top of their business. They have no one else really to speak to or lean on. And a lot of times they want an explanation that makes sense to them. And believe it or not, energy leadership makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. So it's not as woo-woo, if you will, as most people think. There are people out there that are absolutely receptive to the idea that they can resonate at a different level of energy by choosing different words, different body language, and make a huge difference in their business and in their confidence. And when we get into sales and we talk to people about sales, we say, you know, I know you think that the product or service that you absolutely know backwards and forwards is the reason that people buy from you. And they are lower in the scale in terms of their why people buy. Price is one of the lowest, actually.
The three highest
criterion, if you will, for buying is your confidence to deliver, your authenticity, and your enthusiasm. And you can't have confidence unless you are aware of who you are.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so awareness, you said, was one thing. What's another sort of skill that people can develop to help them be more aware of their consciousness, of their energy?
Well, there's two things that are important, and awareness and then and acceptance. Mm-hmm. They have to accept who they are. They absolutely have to accept who they are and who the people are around them and the situation that they're in. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're back on their taxes or they're stressed out because people are leaving, they only stay 6 months, they have to accept that there's something about what they're doing that isn't working for them, not push it under the rug. So acceptance is the second core discipline that we talk about. Okay. And another one is, and this is a big one, is trusting the process. People are forever moving from one thing to the next thing to the next thing.
They need
to develop their process, which develops their confidence, and then trust it.
Right.
And at some point, if it's not yielding the results, make modifications. And one of the things that we do in coaching is we're all about evolution, not revolution.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Trusting the process is a big one because, you know, if you made a choice or you made a decision, you usually made it for a reason. And even if the results, like, don't come immediately, that doesn't mean that there aren't results on the horizon. It's just sort of about being patient, right? We have a tendency to expect something to change overnight. But if it took you 10, 15, 20 years to get to where you are, why do you think things are going to change in a week? I mean, even if it takes 6 months or a year compared to 20 years, that's still a relatively short time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people really have to understand. I tell people, give me a month for every 5 years you've been on the planet to turn things around. I said, you know, some of these people, that they've had these core thoughts, and it takes time to make those changes. But you can see changes quickly if you begin to delve in and actually work on those core disciplines and principles.
Right, right, right. Do you have maybe an exercise somebody can do or some simple sort of technique just to help to give a person an idea of, you know, something they can do to make a change?
Well, absolutely. One of the things that we do with our clients is we give them a scope assessment. It's something that can be done very, very simply in 10 or 15 minutes, which can give them energy in the moment. Now, scope stands for specific, current, operational profile of energy.
Okay.
So for any given task, I have to talk to my boss about a raise, or I've got to talk to my kids about not going on vacation, or I've got to talk to my wife about buying a home, or whatever it is. Around a particular circumstance, you can scope and come up with a very good assessment whether you're anabolic or catabolic for that activity, and then it makes certain suggestions. In working with somebody like myself, we come up with certain alternatives to be able to get through that and learn from that process. See, if we learn from the process we move forward.
Right.
If we do the same thing over and over again without being aware and accepting who we are, that's what keeps us in our place.
And I would assume people aren't always either anabolic or catabolic. Like, they can be different in different situations or different things.
We're an amalgam of all seven levels of energy. It's where you spend the propensity of your time that defines you.
Right. And it also may define you in one particular area of your life, but not the other area of life, right? Like, Steve Jobs is the big example. Like, he was incredible at business, but his personal life was a mess.
He's the quintessential leadership profile of level two. Made billions of dollars, but had other issues, but incredibly creative. But that relationship part of it was very difficult for him. And there's a lot of people out there in business that have that.
Right. Yeah, and there's actually a very interesting quote going around on the Facebook right now that I saw that was like Steve Jobs' like last quote when he was like in bed in the hospital dying, and him like expressing his remorse or regret that he didn't find a way to have healthier relationships aside.
So many people do. Ty Cobb, the great baseball player, said, if I had it to do over again, I would have had more friends.
Exactly. Huh. Wonderful, wonderful. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last commercial break of the show. But not to fear, we'll be coming back with some more tips for you and some more stuff, and I have some announcements at the end of the show. So everybody, please stay tuned, and of course, this is your chance if you want to call in and ask David your own questions. 877-480-4120. We'll be right back with Dr. David Kapowitz.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Dr. David Kapowitz, Head Energy Leadership Development Coach. We've been talking all about why energy is so important in leadership, in business, in life in general. I'm curious, David, why you call what you do coaching and not consulting?
You know, consulting requires a certain area of expertise. I do consult if I need to in the healthcare field, because I've been in the healthcare field my entire career up until coaching.
Right.
But consultants usually have an area of expertise that they evaluate and then they give recommendations to. Coaches don't need to know much about your business.
Right.
What
right.
they are skilled at doing is moving people from point A to point B by holding them accountable. And knowing that they know their life better than we'll ever know it.
Right.
And by working with those types of people and actually rallying the best out of them, it really doesn't matter what business they're in.
Right.
So I have lawyers, I have doctors, I have entrepreneurs, I have construction people who own construction companies. So all of those people, I don't know their business any better. I learned their business, certainly.
Right.
But it's much easier to for someone who's a coach to tell people, ask people what they want to accomplish and have techniques moving them forward and raising their level of energy, which gets the results that they want.
Right. And you've mentioned before how just this whole mindset and whole attitude around the idea of energy leadership has shifted over the years. Is there anything since you've started doing this work that really surprised you about either how you work with people or how people have responded to this work?
Well, one of the things that is very, very evident is that people under stress, their profile of energy changes. So when we do an energy leadership assessment, which we do online for our clients, it's a series of questions. It's very accurate, and it gives us their energetic profile, what their blueprint is under normal circumstances. Now, obviously, they can change. That's the point of coaching.
Right.
But it also gives their energetic stress reaction. And what happens is, under stress, many of the good coping skills and decision-making that they have and all of the win-win attitude, a lot of that disappears under stressful conditions. And those come in the form of energy blocks, and we work with people to unleash some of those blocks, the limiting beliefs, the assumptions, the interpretations that they make.
Right. So is there some, is there a little tool, a little tip you can give people under stress, like something that, that either help them to be aware of or a little tip to help them to shift their energy when they're under stress?
Yes. So here's one of the things that we do. It's the three-step process. And it when a person is under stress, usually or a circumstance comes up that might be similar to something that they've had in the past. So what they would say is, when did something like this happen to me before?
Okay.
The second part of the process is, what did I do to have a positive result?
Right.
And then the third part of that is, how can I adapt what I did in the past to this situation now? Okay. And after a while, it becomes very seamless, so they're able to do it. Wait a minute, I've been here before.
Right.
Okay, what did I do, and how can I adapt that energy right now? How can I adapt that to what I'm doing now? And like, for instance, if they're in a situation where they might have been, they're getting into an argument with somebody at work, where have they been that way before? Oh, I've felt this way before with a teacher or a professor. What did I do? I kept quiet. I listened. And then I voiced my opinion, but I listened to what they had to say first, and they used that. And then lastly, how can they adapt it? And they'll adapt it to what they're doing now. That's how we learn.
Right,
so it's called the three-step coaching process. That's just one technique.
Right, I got you. And I'm just curious, like when you start, I know everybody's different. This is maybe a tough question to answer, but you know, when you start working with someone, how long does it usually take until you see them start to really implement and sort of shift their energy around whatever their challenge is? And again, I understand, like you said before, if they've been doing things a really long time, it could take a real long time to make that kind of change.
Well, results are palpable relatively quickly. What I mean is, people who really are into making certain changes, you can see them in weeks to months. Right away. But in order to sustain those changes, could take up to a year to make those things, or even longer. Right. Most of my clients are lifetime learners, but I would say the minimum that they usually work with someone like me is usually 6 months.
Gotcha.
But many of my clients stay with me much longer than that, because there's always something coming up that they want to go ahead and make a change about. But many of them see results very quickly.
And you've been doing this work for how long now?
8 years.
8 years. So I'm just curious, like, you're probably in general at a pretty high energetic state, just on average, because you've integrated these processes so much in your own life. Are there any like daily rituals or daily things that you do to help to keep your energy at a high level?
Well, I do. Thank you for saying that. But one, you know, my kids would tell you, and I think my wife would tell you, that I've made a lot of changes, because I was the quintessential level two leader. I was a level two parent.
Okay.
You know, look, do this, do that, do your homework, then you can go play ball, then you can do this, then you do that. We're going for the holidays. You need to wear this. You need to wear that. So that's a lot of the way all of us were brought up.
Right.
So level two leadership is kind of indigenous to the parenting process, up until a short while ago.
Right.
So,
right.
So what are some of the things that I do to stay positive? Well, one of the things that I do to stay positive is I surround myself with positive people, and try to engage in positive conversations. The second thing that I do, I'm religious about working out. I work out 5 to 6 days a week.
Wow.
Keeps my energy level high. I'll watch a movie that's you know, fun, you know, a laughing, you know, to laugh and to really engage myself in the activities that I really love to do, at least consistently on a weekly basis. During the summertime, I play a lot of golf, which makes me happy, and spend time with family. And those are the things that I actually consciously choose to do versus just doing nothing and waiting for life to happen to me.
Right.
So I'm proactive about that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, David, I got some sad news. It's almost the end of the show.
Oh, it's been fun.
It's been a pleasure having you here. I would love to have you back in the future sometime, and you got something new to let our audience know about.
Thank you.
If people want to learn more about sort of the work that you do and learn more about what you're up to these days, where can they go to find out more about you?
Well, if they want to learn more about what I do, they can go to rockspringcoaching.com, okay. www.rockspringcoaching.com, just the way it sounds. They could call at 800 number is 888-883-6863.
Wonderful.
888-883-6863 if they want to leave a message. I do give free consultations, and I also afford people the opportunity to experience a scope assessment with that as well. So that's an excellent way for people to get a better understanding of the coaching process.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. So, I mean, what a better way to end up your year than to get a nice assessment and see kind of where you're at, because you might not be where you think you're at, right?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming today, David.
Thank you for having me, and have a good holiday.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And before I close the show, a couple of quick announcements. This is the end of the year, and come January, we are having some changes, Talking Alternative, some programming changes, some time changes. So you might notice that some of your favorite shows are not at the same times or not in the same places as they used to be. Never fear. If you sign up for our newsletter at talkradio.nyc, you'll get all the announcements and you'll know what's going on. And I have a very, very, very special shout out. I would like to call her my listener of the week, but actually she's the listener for the year for my show. Because Sigrid from Stuttgart, Germany, who I had mentioned in a prior show, had stopped by our studios when she was here in New York City on vacation, had heard me, and I'd mentioned, I didn't mention her name, I just happened to mention that someone from Germany had stopped by, and she listened to the show and heard the announcement and emailed me a little note saying how thrilled she was that I had mentioned her and that she really loved listening to the show. And so I didn't mention her name last time, so I really wanted to acknowledge her and thank her for being such a loyal listener from literally almost halfway around the world, and to have made the effort to come by and stop. So Sigrid, I dedicate this show to you, and you are my listener of 2015. So thank you for being so loyal, and I do hope you continue to listen and stop by next time you happen to be in the United States. And of course, this is merely a symbolic gesture really to all of my listeners. It's been 5.5 years of doing this show. I am so, so grateful for everybody who tunes in every week or listens to the podcast afterwards, for my show, for all the shows on the network. Our station has been around and undergone changes quite a lot over the last 5 years, and we'll continue. And we have some exciting things happening in 2016, so I hope you will all stick around for that. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is our last show for Conscious Consultant Hour for the year. We will be dark during Christmas week, and so we will talk to you next year.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.